You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where you could help solve a crime. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Detective Jones.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
Alrighty then.
It's always a surprise.
Always, always. You never know when I'm going to press. All right, so we have some check-ems. I'll start with mine, if you don't mind. This past week, I watched a terrible movie. a terrible, horrible movie called Zombie Cop. Because I was feeling in the low-budget, no-budget, even, horror movie mood. I found this randomly on YouTube. It was
a great place for quality films.
A great place for quality films. Well, you know what? This originally came out. It was on VHS. It was released in 1991, and
so not like decrepitly old.
Oh no, not decrepitly old, but it was shot on VHS, so it has a very quaint look to it. We'll say it looks like garbage. It looks like absolute garbage from a trash can. But it's interesting because this director, J.R. Bookwalter, he has, he did this under a pseudonym because a lot of his early movies he did under a pseudonym because he didn't want people to know that he was making these garbage films. But he's an Ohio guy. He actually filmed this up in Akron in about four or five different locations. And
hey, 330 represent.
That's right. Well, hey, University of Kent. Was one of the locations that he filmed at least a tiny portion of something at, apparently.
Nice.
It was in the thank yous at the end credits. But this is the very confused story of a police officer who goes to make a drug bust, only to discover it is a murderous voodoo man who curses him with unending life. For no apparent reason, as a prank, I guess.
It's a gag.
It's a gag.
It's
yeah,
a bit.
Kinda. Yeah, I mean they both like shoot each other because this voodoo man has a gun. Because why not? not like voodoo magic or whatever.
It's America.
Yeah, but they both die at the same time, and they both come back as zombies. The voodoo man, Dr. Death, doesn't have gross zombiness to him. And really, Zombie Cop doesn't either. He just has some really dark eyeliner for the one scene that you see him before they wrap him up with like mummy bandages. He looks more like mummy cop. Yeah, he looks more like mummy cop than zombie cop. But
I'd watch that.
Honestly, that'd be a more clever movie.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. But you know, it was terrible. It was shot at a budget of about $2,500 total. Acting was poor. It was clear that these were just a bunch of friends kind of filming stuff on weekends, that sort of thing. I will hand it to them. They did shoot at locations. They didn't go to the nature reserve until the final act of the film, because that's a hallmark of really low budget films. Just go film out in the woods somewhere because you don't need a permit for it. They at least had, there was a drug mart that they filmed in. I'm pretty sure it belonged to the director's family. They had a couple of apartments that I'm pretty sure belonged to the actors. They failed miserably, but they tried. They had pretty decent squibs for the time.
Nice.
That was pretty okay. Special effects otherwise was pretty bad. All of the music was done, probably, I believe it was done by the director, and they were 30-second loops on a Casio keyboard that they would just loop over and over for different scenes. But there were like 3 or 4 different Casio keyboard loops. So they tried. There was one scene where the boom mic dropped really far into frame, which is bad, but it means they thought ahead enough to use a boom mic. So you gotta give when you take a little. It's I don't recommend anyone looking this up unless you just love schlock, awful, like subpar. You know, The Room looks, it's a terrible movie, but at least it looks like a film. This looks like someone borrowed their folks' handy cam for a weekend and shot something in their backyard. But they tried it.
There's a charm.
There is a charm. Well, I never saw the film, but Cody, you have a friend in college that made like some low, no budget horror movie or something?
And we're in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say. I'm going to find it one day. I don't remember the name of it, but I'm going to find it one day. But
I think it's out there still.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I would imagine
I've never actually watched it.
But I imagine it is probably of a similar quality. If that makes
sense. I've heard I have one of the more prominent and better done deaths.
Hey, that's good at least. There you go.
Yeah, so that's something.
But no, that's Zombie Cop. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. I would say that this at least has more value than like a Birdemic, because Birdemic almost, it's to the point where it almost feels like it was done bad as a joke. I mean, I know it wasn't, but the fact that they didn't...
It's just unwatchable.
It's like unwatchable. It's this is at least...
Boring.
Yeah, this is at least charming in its ineptitude. Plus, the Voodoo Man's number one henchman sounds like Screech from Saved by the Bell and looks like that disgraced YouTuber Pro Jared. Oh yeah.
But I just had to tell YouTube to stop showing me his videos the other day.
Oh really? Oh wow. I didn't know he was still doing things.
It popped up in my next recommended and I'm like, they had a button that was like, I don't like this, and I clicked that because I don't.
Oh man, that guy.
The less said, the better.
Yes,
let's
absolutely
talk about Blazeball.
Let's talk about Blazeball. Yeah, let's talk about Blazeball.
Sports.
Yeah, what is Blazeball?
Sports, actually.
Yeah, it's more sports than most things we talk about on the show. With the exception of that one time that my dad called in and actually talked to us about sports, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, what is Blazeball?
Like, legitimate.
Yeah.
Blazeball is simulated fantasy baseball, but weird.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. Sure.
It's like a bizarre simulation of baseball where weird magical things can happen during the games and everybody has goofy names and you can bet fake money on the games.
Yes. Yeah, so I would say a lot of the names are of the caliber of Nintendo and Super Nintendo era non-sponsored, non-endorsed sports teams, like sports games. Like, I remember
that one image that was flying around Twitter for a while. I think it was from Fightin' Baseball, I think was the name of the game.
Fightin' Baseball,
like,
yeah.
Truck Davis and...
Yes, yeah, that was a good one. I remember playing Ken Griffey Jr., All-Star Baseball on the Super Nintendo, and Ken Griffey was the only, they had the teams, like the licensed teams, but the players weren't right, so Ken Griffey was the only non-made-up character in the game. He also had his own unique batting sprite. But anyway, Blazeball. So this simulation, it is really, it's just the text. It's just the text of, ball, strike, ball, who's pitching, who's batting, that sort of thing. And each
Quack,
game...
And then you get something like Quack and Joyablo was incinerated.
Yeah, then that's... Yeah, they've introduced a lot of paranormal and magical effects to the game. Well, before the show, you were telling me about the weather that is going on this season. It's in season 11, by the way.
Yeah, there's a season every week.
Yeah, so there's a new game every hour, and by the end of the week, they go into the tournament mode and a World Series on Saturday, basically. And then Sunday is for rest, and then Monday it starts again.
Those players got a rest after they've played Blazeball in a black hole.
Yeah, like a black hole or Sun 2, which is it two suns or is it just bigger, better, badder?
It's
the sun.
It's the second sun. The first one was, I think, sucked into a black hole.
Oh, really? Okay.
I forget what. There's some reason why there's a different sun.
Yeah, it's like this game is really hard to explain outside of it is weird baseball. But it's so addicting because everything moves so quickly and you're just reading. And then, like you mentioned, there is a betting aspect to it. Now, the thing that I love most about Blazeball is there is no actual money dollars exchanged in this. It is purely fictional. And you bet coins if your favorite team wins or loses. And
then you can use those coins to buy things that like can get you more coins or affect the rules of the game.
Right. Yeah.
You can use your coins to vote on things that affect like the entire sport.
Yeah. You can change. Yeah. It's wild. It's absolutely wild what's going on with this thing.
The Sun 2 first appeared during the season 10. Internet series between the Baltimore Crabs and the Charleston Shoe Thieves. During game 3, the Crabs hit 10 runs and the game log then reported the Crabs accumulate 10. The sun collapses. The moon is swallowed. The black hole forms. Sun 2 rises.
Oh, jeez.
So that's the story behind Sun 2.
Yeah, that's... This whole game is just wild, and some of the names of some of the players are the dumbest. The team names are the dumbest. It's just wonderful. Like, okay, Cody, what team are you currently backing?
The Seattle Garages, who's they're saying is smells like team spirit.
Well, I'm a stalwart fan of the Breckenridge Jazz Hands. And their catchphrase, we've got winning to do just for you. All of the team's mascots, logos, they're all like various emoji. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's the closest to graphics there is.
Yeah, but otherwise it's all text. There's, well,
I'm
teams
on their
like
website right now.
The Philly Pies and the Hawaii Eye Fridays. The Canada Moist Talkers. Now, this is an interesting one. Yeah. The Unlimited Tacos.
Yeah, they don't have a city. They're just the Unlimited Tacos.
They're just the Unlimited Tacos, yeah.
Hellmouth Sunbeams.
Mm-hmm.
Hades Tigers.
Yeah, I know a former guest of the show, Jordan Taylor, her team, the Charleston Shoe Thieves, are really, really heating up. Is that the mild division? Because just like baseball, it goes into the mild and the wild divisions instead of the AL and the NL.
They're in mild low.
Mild low, okay. This is so dumb.
Which the garages are at the top of the mild high.
Wow, all right. Yeah, the Jazz Hands are right in the center of the wild high subdivision of Blazeball.
It looks like the Shoe Thieves and the Garages are playing right now as we speak.
I believe they are. Let me see who's the Shoe Thieves are up 6-0.
Yeah, the Garages are getting stomped.
Yeah, the garage is getting stomped by those shoe thieves.
I'll hit the ball, Sparks Beans. I get 5 coins if she hits the ball.
So anyway, this is just a fun little time waster of a thing. It's at blazeball.com. It's baseball with an L after the first B. The developers came up with it just as a way to kind of pass the time during COVID. So it's in season 11, so it's been around for a couple of months. And
the fan community is insane.
That's what's really kind of taken off. Much, I would compare it a lot to the Welcome to Night Vale fandom. Kind of taking little things that have been mentioned here and there, and people have expanded upon it, like made trading cards and elaborate backstories for favorite players and that sort of thing.
It is kind of like if they played baseball in Night Vale, it would be Blazeball.
It would be, yeah. Yeah. but no, this whole kind of phenomenon is interesting. It's cool to watch all this stuff.
Yeah. People go nuts over this stuff. And the developers actually, canonize some of the fan stuff on occasion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a really good video by People Make Games on YouTube, if you're interested, that explains it very, very well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the one that you shared to all of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It has that, a guy very from good. Sit Down Shut Up in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a really good video, but... Yeah, Blazeball.
He spends the entire video in like a bedazzled Dodgers uniform.
He does, yeah.
Which is fitting. Now we're going to have to do Blazeball updates every week.
Every week we're going to have to do a Blazeball update. That's right, yeah. Well, hey, Josh, have you been checking anything out this week?
Yeah, I guess. So, despite having never really done it, Nicole started watching Seinfeld.
Oh, all right.
So I have sat through a few episodes of Seinfeld.
So are you the master of your domain?
I'm really not sure if I get that reference.
That's too bad.
Like, the episodes I've seen so far was when George gets the busboy fired from the restaurant.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
He goes to the busboy's house, and then Kramer goes with him. Then Kramer left the apartment door open, and the busboy's cat got out. And then,
yeah, this sounds like a very Seinfeld thing that is happening.
And then the busboy comes looking for George at their apartment, and he's freaking out, thinking the busboy's going to beat him up for getting him fired. But then the busboy finds out the restaurant caught on fire, and 5 people died in his section or whatever, including the busboy that replaced him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so there's that. I watched an episode where Jerry has to watch some dude's dog because he got sick on an airplane or something.
I don't remember any of these.
The dog's name was Farfel, and it had like the most fake dog barking background sound ever. it sounded like a crew member off set just making bark sounds himself.
Oh, that's great. Are these early series, or are they kind of...
I think so.
Okay.
Because Newman's not even a part of it yet.
Okay. Well, Newman wasn't in every episode, but... My memories of Seinfeld now, I haven't gone back and watched it in a long time, but there are some that... Like, I remember the highlights, like the spit. I remember the spit. I remember the Kramer.
The Chinese restaurant.
The Chinese restaurant, yeah.
The one where they get lost in the parking garage.
Was the Chinese restaurant one where they were wanting a seat, they're trying to go watch a movie?
Yeah, and the whole episode is just in the waiting room.
Yeah, yeah, I watched that one.
That's a good one.
I watched the one where they got lost in the parking garage, and then some girl... picks up George, and she's like into him for like a second, but then she kicks him out of the car or something because he made some comment about Scientology, and she was a Scientologist.
The boy in the bubble one is really good.
Oh, the one where they find out Kramer's first name, That was a, I remember that being a big deal, like Cosmo.
Yeah, that's a really late episode.
It is. Yeah, it's relatively late. Yeah.
Oh, there was one where George was taking a IQ test and what's her face took it for her. Elaine.
Mm-hmm. And he scores really high or something like that. Was that?
No. Well, she did really bad the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then George is like, you got like an 80 or something like that. And then she took the test again and got like 150 something.
Mm.
So what do you think of Seinfeld, though?
I don't know. Like sometimes when it has the clips of him doing his stand-up bits, like at the beginning and the ending of the episodes or whatever, I've like kind of like chuckled at some of his jokes. Then I'm just kind of like, I'm just not sure how I feel about the show.
Seinfeld I was just going to say Seinfeld is a show that would be ruined today by cell phones and just talking to each other.
Yeah.
All of the issues would be solved by a cell phone and someone just saying, "Hey, this thing happened," instead of elaborate plan and wacky hijinks.
Yeah, because like in the Chinese restaurant episode, like George needed to use the public phone and some guy was hogging it because George had to go call his girlfriend or something. I can't remember. But let them know where they were or whatever.
Mm.
I don't know. But I was like, I'm sitting there and I'm like watching. I'm like, oh my God, this is like such a relic.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news. Hey, we're back. That was Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett because it's October. We got to play it. It's a tradition at this point, right?
Yeah, we always play Monster Mash. You got to play Monster Mash.
Got to play Monster Mash. So we have some news to get into. But first, Josh has started following his first blazeball team. Josh, who are you following?
The Mexico City Wild Wings.
Excellent, excellent. What's their current standings?
Their win to losses are 17-37.
Okay, so not having the best year, but you know what? They'll turn it around in the back half of the season. I believe it. I believe it. All right, so
second from the bottom in the Wild High.
Yeah.
League.
Yeah, I'm in the Wild High.
Oh, okay. So that means your team and my team will play each other at some point if we haven't already.
Because the Jazz hands are right there.
The Jazz hands are right there. Yeah. All right. So hey, let's get into a little bit of news.
Come on, Cranky, take it to the fridge.
Let's take this news to the fridge, guys. All right, so let's just go from the top of our list. First up, it looks like there's going to be a Willow TV series for Disney Plus. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Good news. All right, moving on.
Yes, that's good.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's no reason why not go back to the Willow well.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I think a lot of streaming services are still trying to capture that Game of Thrones type hole that was left when that show went off the air. And Willow has just enough nostalgia points and just enough fantasy points that I think it could work for them. I really do.
And Warwick Davis is coming back.
That was my next question. So yeah, I hadn't read the news article on this one. I didn't know if Warwick Davis was coming back. Is Mad Mardigan?
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Is Val Kilmer coming back? Is the question.
It doesn't say. Yeah, it looks like the only person coming back is Warwick Davis.
Okay, well, I mean, that's really all you need. They could fill out the show with all sorts of other characters. And it's a sequel series. That's cool. That's really cool. Well then, yeah, I'm looking forward to this this new Willow.
Yeah, I guess John M. Chu, the guy who did Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, I yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm aware of that.
The, he he's directing the pilot episode.
Okay, cool.
And the co-showrunner is Jonathan Kasdan, who wrote Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh, Kasdan's done a bunch of stuff, but we can't say just because of Solo, a Star Wars film, because that's
true.
I believe that was chopped up in a million different pieces. I imagine the original cut of Solo was probably pretty okay, not the best, but pretty okay. And
the show has three showrunners. There's John Chu.
Okay, sure.
Kasdan and Wendy Merkel from Arrow.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that at least sounds like they will have someone that knows how to do action on the show. Kasdan's a good writer, and John M. Chu, you know, I haven't seen a ton of Crazy Rich Asians, but I've seen
it's
a little bit of that.
It's supposed to be a really good movie.
Yeah. I've seen a little bit of it, and I've heard nothing bad about it, so sure, why not? Yeah, this is great.
I mean, I like Willow.
I haven't seen Willow since I was in junior high, but I remember I really liked it, so...
Same here, yeah, I haven't seen Willow in over 10 years, at least, but yeah, sure, why not?
Growing up, I have been called Peck more times than I can count. For people who maybe don't know or don't remember, Peck is a term that regular people call Willow's people.
Oh, yeah.
Being that all of Willow's people are short.
Hobbits.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
Sorry, I just remember the part where it's near the end of the movie, and Willow... One of the big things about Willow is he wants to be a magician or a wizard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet up with this other, like, good sorceress or whatever. And while Willow's doing magic, he's doing it really bad. And he actually turns the good sorceress into a goat. And she's just talking. She's like, "Willow, you idiot."
Yeah, I remember that. That was, yeah.
Man, that's a good movie. I haven't watched that in a long time.
Yeah. Well, now you have an excuse to go watch some more Willow so you can get caught up in time for the sequel series.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah. though as much as I like The Dark Crystal, I haven't really gone back and watched beyond like the first episode.
Oh, really? Of
well, they
Age of Resistance.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have plenty of time. It's not like an ongoing show at this point. They're kind of done.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, speaking of streaming apps and watching things on them, there's no Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown this year on regular television because it is exclusive to Apple TV this season.
What? Apple's got the rights to those peanuts.
Yeah, and there's something about it that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I feel like that's like... a monopoly on like holiday fun.
Well, you know, maybe not that so much. Yeah, a little bit of that, but also it seems like it is incongruous with the original intent of Charles Schulz's creations. Like, he wanted people to enjoy his stuff, and by taking it off of regular television and putting it behind a paywall just doesn't feel right.
They are letting you watch it for free during some time period.
Well, I
forget what it is. It was actually a fairly generous amount of time.
Oh, well, that's good at least. That's better than nothing, I suppose. But still, it just doesn't feel right. Although, I guess it makes sense that there's less and less people who have cable. So they would have to do something to get it onto a streaming service. But, you know, why
my
can't...
My opinion on it is, buy a DVD, boomer! Pew, 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 pew!
You know, they could at least put Hulu.
Yeah, yeah. Now the
but
question.
Apple owns it, not Disney.
Yeah, that's yep. Now the question is, what will they do with Charlie Brown Christmas?
I think they already said they're going to do the same thing.
Going to do the same thing. Darn it! That's
yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think I have a DVD of it somewhere, but still, that's a bummer. That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and it is a holiday classic. But like, also, do kids these days even know who the Peanuts are?
No, and that makes me sad.
Actually, like, the way those are paced, I have a hard time thinking a kid would sit through it and enjoy it.
Yeah. it doesn't move quite as quickly as Fortnite. Anything contemporary.
Fortnite.
Fortnite. Yeah, if they want kids to know what Charlie Brown is, they'll put a Fortnite.
Charlie Brown in Fortnite.
Put a Charlie Brown skin in Fortnite. Have Charlie Brown do the Fortnite dance.
Oh,
you
God,
could do
I
the Charlie
it.
Brown.
Oh yeah, I could do the Charlie Brown. Yeah. I was thinking that weird dance that Shermie does during the the Peanuts dance break scene in Charlie Brown Christmas. Yeah.
They should just play it in Fortnite. Play the specials in Fortnite.
There you go.
They've we done stuff it. Like that before, haven't they? They've had like movie nights in Fortnite. It can be done.
Although Apple and Epic don't exactly get along.
Well, that is true. That is very true. That's currently kind of a thing. Although, you know, we haven't heard much in the way of any kind of response to that here recently. I wonder how that's going.
I know they've both said they don't want to go to court. Like, they don't want to take it to trial. But I don't know.
Yeah, weird.
That's the last thing I heard.
Yeah. Okay, so let's keep going with the streaming TV show stuff. Well, there's a trailer for the Christmas Chronicles 2. Christmas Chronicles 1 was released, was it last year? It was released last year, right?
It was 2 years.
2 years?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay. Well, Kurt Russell. It was the one where Kurt Russell was Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
He was gruff Santa Claus man, and
hot Santa.
And they're bringing it back. They took a year off. They're bringing it back, and Goldie Hawn's in this one, right? She's Mrs. Claus.
Yes. She had a cameo in the first one, and now she's full on involved.
That's
I support this.
Hey, why not? Why not? I don't remember watching all of Christmas Chronicle. I think it was one of the ones that I started and then just kind of started doing something else and didn't finish for whatever reason. But it's one that I've been wanting to go back to, and now that there's going to be a second one, yeah, I'm all for this. Give me some of that bad Christmas movie stuff.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was the best kind of fun Christmas trash.
Oh, Christmas trash. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite to the level of the Christmas Prince or A Night Before Christmas, night as in KNIGHT, the ones that the Christmas romantic comedy Netflix exclusives that ape off of Hallmark's Christmas movies. And are just trash fires. Wonderful
really
trash fires.
Like you want to talk about like Christmas movies that Netflix did recently. I really liked that Klaus movie.
Yeah, that was good.
Klaus was
really
legitimately
well
good. Yeah, that one was well animated. That was really, really good. I did like that one. But I'm talking like the ones that you watch and go, ooh, I feel gross for watching this, but I'm watching it anyway. This is poor. This is a cash grab in every rich way, but I love it. Just give me the garbage. But yeah, Christmas Chronicle 2. Why not?
I mean, I heard it's all right. My sister ranted about the first one.
I've heard
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to go back to it, but the first 15-20 minutes of it that I watched the other day, or the last time I watched it, it seemed good. I liked it.
Santa has a big musical number when he's in prison.
I didn't get that
and
far.
I refuse to elaborate.
Good, fine. I'll have to dig into it. Okay, more streaming television news. Animaniacs put out their second trailer. And in case you didn't know, Hulu has revived Animaniacs, the animated series that I think we all grew up with here on the show and have very fond memories of.
I mean, it molded a lot of my humor.
Oh, same here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of those jokes that they would tell, they were so old.
Yeah.
Like they were making like Catskills level old vaudeville joke stuff and referencing actors from the 40s and 50s, but it all worked and it was all wonderful. It was,
well, they also made a lot of like at the time
modern jokes, yeah,
like current event pop culture jokes.
Oh yeah, well that too. And the trailer that they just released for this definitely has more of that. It actually brought a little bit of a tear to my eye watching it because it's just more Animaniacs. They're changing up the animation style. They're tweaking it very slightly to differentiate it from the original, but it looks like Animaniacs with the exception of, you know, the voice actors being what, 20 years older than they were.
Yeah.
It looks just a smidge cheaper.
Just a hair.
But the original Animaniacs was incredibly expensive.
It was. Yeah, it was almost prohibitively expensive at times. But, yeah, I mean, the voice acting, they sound pretty as... Well, they got all three of the original actors back. And they sound as close as they're going to get with the actors being 20 years older than they were when they originated the role. Like, Dodd doesn't sound 100%. Yakko doesn't sound 100%. But it's very, very, very close. And that's good.
I thought the second trailer was a lot better than the first one.
Oh, I agree.
The first one was parodying a movie that is as old as Animaniacs.
Yeah.
Which seemed weird.
But the parody worked.
It was funny.
It was a lot of funny. It was really funny. It was a lot of fun. And the Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
that was great. That was a really good one. But no, they're bringing back Pinky and the Brain in this. And that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I wonder if they're going to bring back the other side characters, like Mindy and Buttons.
Mindy and Buttons, sure. Minerva Mink.
No,
they're not going to bring back.
She went to prison.
She went to. Well, listen, if there was ever a time for Minerva Mink to come back, 2020 is it. Let's face it. I think as a culture, we're ready for Minerva Mink. We weren't ready 20 years ago. I think
you're right.
I think we're ready now.
Fly better now.
yeah. But Slappy Squirrel and the Good Feathers. Like, what kid is going to get a Goodfellas joke about pigeons? But it's going to be there. I just hope they don't bring back the one that sings the singing dog and cat.
Rita and Runt.
Rita and Runt. I never liked Rita and Runt. I never liked Rita and Runt.
Sings show tunes and Runt is like a Rain Man parody, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of it. But no, give me good idea, bad idea. I hope they bring back the Wheel of Morality, like just everything.
You think they'll do Yakko sings like some song about something?
Oh, absolutely.
Teach us about all the countries of the world.
Oh, you can't get Rob Paulsen to not sing that song. At every con he goes to, that is like he's memorized and he has an updated version of Countries of the World that he does at cons now with the new countries and country name changes and that sort of thing. I think it's fresh as of a couple years ago. It's on the internet. It's like there's con footage, like plenty of con footage on YouTube of it. But I guarantee he is going to do his updated version of Countries of the World. It's... But no, I'm so excited for this. I can't wait for more Animaniacs. And it's on Hulu, which is great. It's easily accessible.
It's weird that the Warner Brothers and their sister are on a Disney platform, but...
Well, was this decided before... Well, no, I guess Hulu was always a Disney thing, wasn't it?
No, it was, I think, Fox owned a large portion of it.
Okay, well, that would explain part of it then, because even though it's a Warner Brothers thing, Animaniacs was on Fox Afternoons, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's so they have at least some stake in it.
Well, I think they were on the WB there for a while.
They were also, well, yeah, they were on the WB. Speaking of things that were on the WB, so do you guys remember Static Shock?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so for folks who don't remember, Static Shock was, it was originally a comic book. It was turned into a animated series that was kind of grandfathered into the Batman the Animated Series universe, retroactively. But it was based on a character from Milestone Comics. Milestone Comics was a subsect of DC Comics where a lot of original characters were created that were minority-led. A lot of African-American characters, a lot of Asian characters, various non-white superheroes in this imprint for DC Comics. It was run by a guy named Dwayne McDuffie. Static Shock, the animated series, he's a lot like if Spider-Man were had electric powers instead of spider powers. He's very quippy. He's a teen hero that had to balance going to school while also dealing with superhero stuff, while also dealing with like inner city gang type stuff, because the comic and to a lesser extent the show was very it was very conscious of real world kind of issues. And Michael B. Jordan, the actor, is involved with a revival of Static Shock in movie form in some capacity. I don't know. He's like producing it, right? At the very least.
Yes, I think.
Yeah, because I think he might be too old to play the character as written unless they age up the character. But
I hope they don't.
I hope they don't. I hope at the very
I feel
least
like that defeats the purpose.
It would. Yeah, they would. They would be better off doing something like what's the guy's name? Icon, who was the Superman analog. Would be if they wanted to do like an adult African-American hero in a movie. But Static Shock really kind of needs to be a teen. And Marvel movies like Spider-Man Homecoming has shown that you can have a teen hero that looks and acts like a teen be insanely popular. And I'm for this. I'm for this project. I don't know if it's going to go any further than just rumor mill at this point, but sure, why not? What do you guys think?
I watched a lot of Static Shock. I liked it a lot. And then when they eventually did the crossover episode with the Justice League.
Yeah.
And then they...
they did a couple of crossover episodes with Justice League. And then there was a couple where Green Lantern and Hawkwoman get trapped in the future and older, like in his late 40s, early 50s, Static is a member of the Justice League.
Yeah, he's a member of the Justice League with the Terry McGinnis Batman Beyond Batman.
Right. Yep, that's correct. So, like I said, retroactively kind of in with those characters. Also, the comics, Milestone Comics, about, I want to say almost 10 years ago, they were folded into main continuity for DC Comics. So Static is out there. So they're still doing stuff with the character. He shows up in Teen Titans every now and then. But yeah, I'm for this project. Why not?
If it brings the character kind of back to light, awesome.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, other than comic fans or people who grew up in that era of animated shows like we did, probably don't really know who Static Shock is.
And
I feel like it'd be good for representation.
Yeah, it would be really good for representation. I think showing, between Spider-Man showing that teenage heroes can be relatable to superhero show superhero movie audience, and Black Panther showing that there really is a need for that type of representation in these movies. Yeah, I think I don't know if I'm making my point clear enough. I just think this is a good project, and I think
you handle it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right.
I was looking into who owned Hulu when, and it is very complicated.
Oh, I bet it is.
There is a bar graph over time with percentages of what company owns how much. It is insane.
Oh, man.
And now Disney just owns the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So I'm guessing the Animaniacs deal was done before the Disney deal, and that's why it's there, would be my guess.
Yeah. Now Disney owns 67% and Comcast owns the rest.
Oh, okay. Because I bet if the Disney deal didn't go in before this, Animaniacs would be going to HBO Now instead of
Hulu.
Yeah. Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they thought maybe it would be, I don't know, more accessible on Hulu than HBO?
Yes and no, but HBO, they've been putting a lot of stuff on there. There have been, I mean, I'm never going to buy it because I don't watch enough TV to justify having a million different subscriptions to things. But, you know, they've added some stuff, like the new Doom Patrol's over there, Harley Quinn's over there.
We have HBO Max, and we use it all the time. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah. Like, I tell you, if I were to add one more, like, paid subscription service, it would be HBO Max, probably.
Well, I know they have the new Adventure Time show.
Oh, yeah.
Rick and Morty stuff's going over there.
Mm.
I mean, they just kind of scooped in and just, like, grabbed a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
They got Lovecraft Country is really good, and it's on their day and date with HBO. All the Craig of the Creek you could ever want.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, Craig of the Creek, good show.
Yeah. It is. It's a great show.
All right, hey, we are getting really close to time, but I want to hit a couple more really quick things. AOC, the politician, Alexandria...
Ocasio-Cortez,
right? Yeah. She set up a Twitch account and streamed with a bunch of YouTubers and Twitch streamers the other night to help promote going out and voting. She played Among Us. She was terrible at it because she's a terrible liar, which I guess is good, you know, for being a politician, I suppose. But, and I watched the stream for over an hour because I was interested in seeing how it went. It had a rocky start, a very rocky start, but it was fun. It was kind of cool. And it was kind of interesting to see a, someone from kind of the political realm kind of let down the facade a little bit and be relatable. And it was interesting. It was kind of an interesting experiment. I don't know if she's going to be planning on doing more of this kind of stuff. I know she plays a lot of video games. Like, she's big into League of Legends, I believe.
Yeah, she's talked about that before. Animal Crossing,
yeah, that was another big one. But yeah, it's interesting and weird. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it, but it was... It's a cool first step, I guess.
It's cool to see somebody in politics make themselves that accessible.
Yeah.
Like, usually when you see, like, a town hall thing, they're so controlled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They know what to be, and they only let certain people in, like Ken Bone.
I wish they wouldn't. But anyway. But, yeah, it's... It just kind of makes me wonder where the future of politics will go. Will we see a gamer president or a gamer high, like high political office sometime in our lifetime? Will we see a town hall or a debate broadcast over Twitch, fielding questions from
Fortnite.
inside Fortnite? It would get a lot of eyes would get on it. It would be an interesting gimmick. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of websites say, you know, this is the future of politics, and I can't say they're wrong. Like, seems very possible.
Yeah, it seems very, very possible. Okay, so a couple other things. Fast and the Furious is going to be ending after two more movies and also two more spinoffs. So four more movies totaling, 11 mainline and up to 15, including the spinoffs. So, no, 16, because there was one movie that was retroactively added in to it because one of the characters, Han, is from another movie that Justin Lin directed before getting into the Fast and the Furious movies. But yeah, so 16 movies? That's more than a Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
they had a good run.
They had a good run. It's no MCU, but it's close. It's close.
You know they're just going to reboot it and start it over.
Oh yeah,
right
they'll,
after this.
They'll reboot it and do it all over again. Yeah.
I mean, all right. It's all about family.
It's all about family. Framley.
It is.
Yeah. And last thing I want to mention, and only because you guys aren't physically in the studio with me, so you can't flip on and off the light. So I have the Power Rangers,
oh, no.
That is. Yeah.
Have the muscles.
I have
the
muscles and the power to talk about this. There's not a whole lot of news with this. Hasbro announced that concurrent with the mainline Power Rangers continuity, which is in Beast Morphers, I think is what the newest season is. I admittedly haven't watched a whole lot of it. It looks kind of interesting, but along with that, that is definitely more on the kiddie side of things. Like, it's a young, under 10 show. They are going to be doing a series of movies and a television series or streaming series that is for late teens and adults, so slightly upping the age range. And it is being helmed by a guy named Jonathan Entwistle, who has done a couple of different streaming shows, notably I Am Not Okay With This and End of the Effing World, which is something that I believe we talked about on the show while back.
I'm Not Okay With This is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they canceled it.
Yeah. But no, he's going to be directing a film and then show running a tie-in series based in the Power Rangers universe. So I'm guessing it's going to be all original film stuff. I'm guessing that's probably also going to draw heavily from the comics, unless they're doing something completely original. If they're going to pull from anything, they're going to pull from the comics, because the comics kind of already skew more towards the more adult, not really adult, but more tonally serious, and also modernized the original Mighty Morphin team, because they always seem to want to go back to that well.
Yeah.
But no, interesting stuff. I think that Hasbro has the right idea by splitting things into a more child version of the series that will be ongoing, and a more adult version, not really adult, but you know what I mean, kind of more grown up version of the series for the older fans. That way they don't have to keep trying to straddle the line between, oh, fans are saying that it's too kiddie, but then the kids don't buy the toys because it's more too adult and stuff like that, and back and forth. Splitting it is probably the best way that they can do things, and I'm interested in seeing where they go with it.
Well, most of the Power Ranger toys that have been coming out have been adult collector style.
The Lightning collection is a lot of adult for the adult collector, but they still put out the cheaper figs for kids. They still put out the Zords for kids. But yeah, I will say, and the playable weaponry for kids, like Nerf guns and swords and stuff. But yeah, I would say a lot of the meat and potatoes is of the adult collector, and most of it is Mighty Morphin. Although there have been some other seasons thrown in there, like more iconic stuff, I guess.
Some of the lightning stuff is kind of cool, but I think I still like the Legacy Collection stuff a little better.
I actually like the Lightning Collection a little more. I think they are designed to look a little slightly more realistic. Like there are actual creases in like the it almost looks like they're wearing a uniform instead of just a blank bodysuit that is painted one color. And the head sculpts, they have swappable heads where one is a helmet and one is the actor. And they are batting about 65 to 70% on likeness. The Trini, the Kim, the Jason figs look exactly like the actors who portrayed them. The Zach and Billy, maybe not as much, but they're close enough, I guess. But yeah.
I was more meaning like the
come on, Cranky, take it to the fridge.
Oh shoot, I accidentally hit. Sorry. oh, whoops.
I think that's a sign.
I think that's a sign that I hit the Power Rangers button on myself, apparently.
So wow. I can't believe you just Kanye'd me.
I did. I am sorry about that. I am sorry, buddy. Well, I'll tell you what. Finish your thought, and then we'll wrap it up.
I was talking about more like the Zord collectibles and the prop collectibles.
Oh yeah, no, I would never spend that kind of money on those things. No, not what they're asking. Never in a million years. No,
I meant in comparison between like the Lightning Collection and the Legacy Collection.
Oh yeah, okay, sure. No, I definitely see. I see what you mean, but no, I wouldn't buy either one because they're like a couple $100, and that's never gonna happen.
I mean now.
No, yeah.
But like I've seen some like the Lightning props, and they're not bad.
They're not bad.
Like,
they're not bad.
Good displays and stuff, but there's still a lot of plastic in those.
Yeah.
Versus the Legacy Collection stuff was all like diecast.
Yeah.
That's just my thought on it.
Yeah.
Come on, Cranky, take it to the fridge.
All right. Man. So yeah. So okay. I guess we've hit time. So let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline and leave us a voicemail at 586-372-8020. Tell us your favorite Animaniac side character.
You can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. And yeah, I believe that's it. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.